Well, good evening, Grace Baptist Church, and for those of you that might be listening on the internet, I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Smith for inviting us to come back again and to be able to open up God's Word with you this evening. It's not really what we had planned. We had planned to be back in Papua New Guinea by now, but we're still waiting for the borders to be open and for us to have the opportunity to be able to go back and minister to our people in Papua New Guinea. But we are thankful for the opportunity that we had to come here and to be able to share God's word with Grace Baptist Church here in Melinda. It's been an encouragement to us, and we're just thankful for the opportunity. As most of us, our plans have changed. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today, is some truths to remember when things don't go as planned. And our text was found in Colossians chapter number 2. Colossians chapter number 2, and we'll read verse 1 down to verse 10. But while you're finding Colossians chapter 2, I'd just like to encourage all of us that no matter if it's this virus or whatever it is, our plans that we make sometimes change. And as I know it true in my life, as I try to plan and see what God has for me to do, many times those plans didn't come out exactly the way that I thought that they would. I used to work for a man, and he'd always say, we need to make plans. If we don't make plans, then we're not going to go anywhere, but we need to hold our plans with an open hand like this, where God can change those things and allow him to change those things, because he's in control of it. But so many times when we make our plans, and when they get disrupted, we get all upset and all uptight. But we just need to trust God that he has a plan for us. And as we look into Colossians chapter number 2, in verse number 1, I would just like to read down through these 10 verses, and I think they'd be a blessing to you, but I would encourage you. I know it's a temptation if you're sitting at home, maybe sitting on the couch, just to kind of listen and not really open up the Word of God and look at it. I would encourage you to look at the words as I read, and read along with me to be able to digest some of these things so that when we look into it, we can get a greater understanding of what we should have this morning, what we should learn about this morning. But Colossians chapter 2, in verse number 1 says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for us, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, for their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and in all riches of all fullness of assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse number 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Let's pray together this evening. Father, we come to you asking for you to be our teacher tonight. And Father, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, use your word in our hearts, that we would be able to have the understanding that you have for us this evening. And Father, not that just we would understand it, but that we would apply it to our lives and that we would be able to glorify you. And as the text says, be thankful for what you're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would lead and guide in our hearts tonight, that you would, Father, just help us to be able to see what you have from this text this evening. And Father, we know that you are the one that receives all glory and honor and praise. And Father, we pray that you would get the glory that's due your name this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look into this passage of Scripture, we know that the author is the Apostle Paul. And he's writing to a church at Colossae, but he's not writing just to Colossae. He's writing to another city called Laodicea. And there's another city there close by. There's three cities that are together, and he's writing to them, but he's not with them. He's not side by side with them. He's writing a letter to them. There's a man in the first part, in chapter 1, named Epaphras. Epaphras was a man that the Apostle Paul ministered to on one of his missionary journeys while he was in Ephesus, and was able to get to work with him and teach him the Word of God. And this Epaphras went back to Colossae and was working there in Colossae, sharing God's Word with the people there. But at this time, while Paul is writing this letter to Colossae, he's not in Ephesus, he's actually in Rome. He's in prison, he's in house arrest, waiting trial there, and he's hearing word back because Epaphras came from Colossae to Rome to talk with Paul and to give him a report. We find that in chapter 1, where Epaphras comes in verse number 7, and he's given a report about how things are going in Colossae. And he's given a very good report, and Paul's encouraged because he hears about the love that he sees in the believers at Colossae. And it was an encouraging letter, but at the same time, there were some things that were kind of, he was being wary of, cautious of, maybe a little bit of discouragement. And that is false teaching that was going around in Colossae. And there was really a mixture of false belief going around in Colossae. And it's kind of, you have to understand a little bit about those false teachings to understand how Paul addressed in this letter to the Colossians. And that, as we understand that there's a mixture of different religions, and one of them, it's the same old thing that some of the Jews were trying to push, is you have to follow the law in order to have right standing with God, and you have to do all the Jewish rituals. But then there's also a more of a mystical belief that was going around, saying that we can't understand the way to God really in ourselves. We have to have a higher teacher to teach us. And they begin to get very mystical about it and begin to say that they have to have somebody else to teach us these things. And there was also another belief that was there that was going around, and that's kind of called philosophy, going around with the world's wisdom and trying to patch that together logically with the death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, trying to mix it all up together. And there was also another belief mixed in there that they believed that all material things were evil and you have to rise above material things, and Jesus didn't bodily rise from the grave because material things are all wicked. And just a mixture of all these things that were going around, and Epaphras maybe, no doubt, is getting kind of discouraged as he's being able to hear all these things. And as they're going around in Colossae, no doubt the church people are hearing these things and wondering, did we miss something? I don't know about you, but if you've ever gone on a trip and you get in the car and your family's all ready to go and you have this feeling like you're missing something, something you're just forgetting to do, or something that you're forgetting, and it's kind of an odd feeling. You don't want to leave because you want to make sure everything's done that you need to get done before you go. And it's kind of a deep, odd feeling that you have. And maybe that's the feeling that they had here in Colossae when we're hearing different beliefs about Jesus Christ and about what he's doing. And then we have all these other things mixed in. And is Christ really enough? And what they were thinking, did we miss something along the way? And Paul writes this letter and he's saying, no, you didn't miss anything. And he writes here in chapter 2 and verse number 10 that we are complete in him, meaning we are complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. That word complete there is full or accomplished. It's finished. It's the idea of where this week my one son was putting a Lego set together, and he got down to the last piece and he couldn't find the last piece and it wasn't complete. And boy, he started to break down because he wanted that one last piece to make it complete. But Paul is saying here to the Colossians, hey, you are complete in Christ. You have everything that you need. And not only is he saying that we are complete in him, but he is saying that we need to put Jesus Christ as number one in our lives. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. He's saying Christ, who is our life. It's not that we just add Christ on top of everything else, but he should become the most important thing in our lives. You know, so many times maybe it's our plan. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's our job where we find our fulfillment and our satisfaction, and we rely on that job to give us fulfillment in our lives, and that becomes number one in our lives. Or maybe our houses, we work hard to build up a house and to have a place to stay, and maybe that becomes number one, and that's where we find our identity. Or maybe cars, you name it, different things that sometimes take the place, and we find our identity in those things. We find our satisfaction and fulfillment in those things where Jesus Christ is meant to be the one to identify with. He's the one to get that fulfillment from. You know, as we go along, our lives have been changing, and some get very discouraged over it, and it does get very discouraging. And so here Paul is laying out some things to help us to be encouraged, because we are complete in Christ. And we can be very encouraged tonight as we look into this passage. And as we see that and understand that we are complete in him. We're not missing anything. And he's trying to encourage these believers at Colossae to be encouraged. Hey, you're not missing anything. And he lays out, starting in chapter 1, going through, he lays out the necessity and the completeness of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We truly are complete in him. That's really good news. That's really the gospel. Not that we need to work or add anything to our right standing. We don't need to try to find some kind of a man that can tell us what we need to know. No, the Word of God is sufficient. And Jesus Christ is sufficient. Jesus died in our place on the cross. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. We just celebrated that last week, of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he was victorious up over the grave. And we can have victory in Christ. It is complete, lacking nothing. Nothing is missing here. God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. The Bible says here in verse number 1, going back to our text of Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 1, it says, Paul here is saying, for I would want you to know, I want you to know what great conflict I have for you. It's something inside his heart that he wanted to be with these people. Have you ever felt that recently, where you just want to come back and be part of the church again and meet together? And boy, if you don't have that longing to meet with God's people, I would check to see if you really have are one of his children. Because it's so important as a church that we meet together and as we encourage each other and help each other. And that's what the feeling the Apostle Paul was having. He's having a conflict. He wants to be with these people to encourage them and to help them and to share God's word with them. And he has a longing to it, to get there. But he can't because he's in prison. So he writes this letter to encourage them. That word conflict there is a neat word picture. It's kind of a picture of an assembly where they would play different games and fight different battles with each other, and how they would fight those battles with each other, and the intensity that they would fight with one another is kind of where we get that word conflict, going back and forth. And the intensity of Paul's heart here is very strong of how much he wants to be with them, but he can't. So he's writing to them and saying, hey, don't worry about these false teachers. Don't worry, you're not missing anything. You are complete in him. And as he goes on, he says, writing to these people of Colossae, but also to them at Laodicea, and also to anybody that hasn't seen his face, he has a desire, he has a heart, a love for people to be able to understand the gospel, people to hear the gospel and to be saved and to follow him and see what he has for them in their lives. But he's not able to do it at this time. His plans have been changed because he's sitting in prison. And so he's doing the next best thing. He's writing them a letter. They don't have all the fancy cameras and everything back then. So he writes them a letter and says, hey, there's some things, some truths that I want you to know. When life doesn't go your way, we can rest in some of these truths. And the first one is found in verse number 2. Because we are complete in Jesus Christ, lacking nothing, and how Paul had the desire to come and share that with them personally, he writes to them, I want to come so that their hearts might be comforted. Whenever our hearts are comforted, then we are strong. It's whenever our hearts are doubting, when our hearts are going different places in worry and fear, that we can't trust like we should. And he's saying, I want to be there and help them to understand that they're complete in Christ and they can be comforted in their hearts. They can be strengthened in their hearts. Because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within inside of us and he is our comforter. As the Bible promised when Jesus was ascending and leaving and going back up to the Father, he said, I'm going to send a comforter. He mentioned it several times. He's going to send the comforter to come and to live inside of us, the Holy Spirit to come and to strengthen us and to help us and to guide us along the way. And boy, what a great comfort it is to know that because of Jesus Christ, we can be comforted together in our hearts. What a great truth that really is. It's easy to become discouraged at any time, but especially in times like these people are going through with hearing all kinds of different beliefs going on. Hey, what, am I missing something? Should I believe this? Should I believe that? They're kind of in conflict. They're kind of have things going on and so in our lives too. It's sometimes easy to become discouraged, especially in times like ours where we can't meet with the brethren. We can't encourage each other face to face and like we used to do. But we can be comforted in the fact that we know that we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, lacking nothing. I suggest that our focus needs to be putting Christ as number one in our lives. Not that our spouses, not that our homes, not that our cars aren't important or they're sinful. No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying when we put one of those things before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and when those things are taken away, boy, we crumble in despair. But when we put Jesus Christ as number one in our lives, whatever storm may come, we can find comfort in him because nobody can take that away from us. And so we're so thankful that we have a God that can comfort us like this. Our hearts can be strengthened from the inside. And when we're strengthened from the inside out, boy, what a blessing that is to be encouraged by knowing that we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ, lacking nothing. The second thing there is in the same verse. It says that their hearts might be comforted being, knit together in love. Knit together in love. I don't know about you, but under normal circumstances, when we can travel around and meet people together in certain churches, and maybe, Lord willing, we can meet you all sometime face-to-face and not in a camera. But when you meet together, and the love that is shared when you meet together, no matter where you are in the world, with a group of Christians, true believers in Jesus Christ, wow, what a great time that is to be able to meet, and how sweet it is because of the love that Christ has put into our hearts. We love one another. It doesn't matter if I go to New Guinea or if I go to America or come to Australia. When you're meeting with Christian people, wherever you go, you can see that love is evident in a true believer. And here he's saying, I pray and my desire is for them to know that they're complete in Christ so that they can be knit together. They can be unified. They can be unified in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know of somebody that knits and puts something together, you know that yarn is very weak with one string. You can take it and you can pull it apart and it pretty easily. But when you weave that together, when you knit it together, it forms a bond that is very strong. And you can make a pocket, you can make a cap, you can make different things. And it can be strong because it's knit together. And that's what Paul is saying here. Because of the love of Christ, we can be knit together. We can be strengthened, excuse me, in Him. Being knit together in love. And the verse goes on. It says, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ. The third thing I wanted to bring out, and it's things to remember when things do not go our way. The third thing, excuse me, is to have full assurance of understanding. Excuse me, 1 second. I have to apologize. My voice is going out here on me. But the third thing that I want us to understand is that we can have full assurance of understanding. Notice that word riches there. Right before it says riches of the full assurance of understanding. It truly is riches to seek after. You know, this world, we're seeking for riches. And this word riches has the idea of treasure. Something that you want to seek your heart after. Something when you put your heart towards and try to find. And he's attaching it to the riches of full assurance of understanding. Just a little bit of a testimony from my own life. I was made a profession of faith when I was a very young child. But throughout my time growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. But I had a lot of doubts about my salvation, about God, and about who He was. And sometimes these doubts would be very, very strong. And I would be seeking God. It wasn't that I was living, I would sin, obviously, but it wasn't that I was living an outward sinful life, and I was seeking what God had for me, but there are times that I would be so discouraged because this doubt would come into my life. And as I would go on, I would spend time with God, and I'd be reading God's Word and be strengthened in His Word, but there are other times where it would just come so strong that I just didn't feel like going on and following through with these Christian beliefs that I had. And that became to come and go throughout my life. But then there was one day that I was sitting in church, and we were singing a hymn, and I can't remember exactly which hymn it was, but it was talking about all I have is Christ, all I need is Christ. It was talking about the completeness that we have in Christ. My hope is in Christ alone. And so as we were singing that song, and the God began to break my heart and help me to understand that it wasn't how I behaved, it wasn't my work, it was Christ's work on the cross that I can be sure of my salvation. It wasn't my ability to be able to do the right or the wrong thing, it was all based upon Christ. And as I understood that truth, that I was complete in Christ, God gave me that assurance. So many times, whenever I would go through times of doubt like this, and I would meet with different pastors and different leaders, and I would just pour my heart out to them, and time again, and they would say, well, maybe you just didn't pray sincerely enough. And I would go, and I would pray, and pray, and pray, and boy, I just seemed like I couldn't shake this thing. But as I realized that I was focused on my own work to try to be accepted by God. But really, it was Christ. I was complete in Him when I understood that when I put my faith and trust in Him, boy, that I'm complete in Him. That's all I need. I wasn't lacking or missing anything. So I'd encourage you this evening, if you're going through a time of doubt, going through a time where you're just not quite clear, focus on the full assurance that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the riches of the full assurance. Boy, when you want to go do something for God and you have these doubts that come up and you're wondering, is this the right thing or not? Boy, go back to focus on what Christ did for you on the cross. Be strengthened. by this full assurance of understanding. And he goes on, he says, according to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father of Christ. And in verse number 3 it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why do you think Paul would say is hid? Is Christ being hid from us? Is God playing a game to us, trying to hide Christ from us? No, that's not what he's saying. But he's saying here, because remember the belief. Excuse me one second. Remember the belief that they had to try to seek out and find this mysterious belief to be able to get to God? Well, he's kind of playing with the words here and saying, hey, Christ is the one that is hid. Christ is the one that's all we need. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're trying to get all this worldly wisdom and all this knowledge and try to mystify their religion. And Paul's saying, no, hey, Christ, it's all hid in Christ. Christ is all that you need. You are complete in him. Don't let these people trick you, beguile you, to pull you away from the truth, the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse number 4 tells us that. He says, watch out, beware that these people do not pull us. But then verse number 5, he says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He's encouraging them, saying, hey, you're doing a good job. I've heard that you've been steadfast for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, keep going on, steadfast, unmovable in the work of the Lord. You're doing a good job. Just stay away. Don't let these people pull you away from the main thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying to the people of Colossians, he's saying to us as well, what a great advice it is for us as well. We can be pulled away by all kinds of different things that are going on in our world today, but let's keep it to the main thing, that we are complete in Christ. As we go on in verse number 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The fourth thing that we need to remember when our plans are being changed, a truth that we need to remember when our plans are being changed, is that we need to walk as Jesus walked. Jesus is our pattern to follow. You know, we call ourselves Christians. Literally what that means is little Christ following in the footsteps, mimicking the steps of Jesus Christ. Following him as he walked, we also need to walk. Now, we're not perfect. We're not God. But we need to strive as Christians to live up to that name and walk as Christ walked. Walk in humility, not puffing ourselves up. Walk with others in mind. Jesus taught us many times to not think of our own things, but think on the needs of others. Boy, what a great marriage, what a great church family we can have if we enter these relationships thinking of the other person. So many times we struggle maybe in marriages because there's two people that are married together that are thinking of themselves. But as we think, as I think of things my wife would like for me to do, and as she thinks of things that she would like to do for me, and boy, when we do that for each other, what a great relationship it can be. And even in church, whenever we're together, meeting together, and thinking on the needs of other people, and not just on the needs of ourselves, and what a refreshing place to be, where you're around people that are thinking of others and not just thinking about themselves. That's the way Jesus walked. Jesus didn't come to this earth for himself. He came to die on the cross for you and for me. He came because of his love. And he didn't come for himself. We need to walk as Jesus walked. You know, that's where
good works comes in. And people say to me all the time, well, you know, I'm trying to be good, and boy, if I can just do good enough, God will accept me. Well, that's not the case. It's very clearly, we've already said, that it's in Christ that we're accepted by God. It's in Christ that we are complete. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do anything that's good. There's some good works that we should do because we are saved. Not in order to gain salvation, but we should walk as Jesus walked, not in order to earn favor with God, but we should walk as Jesus walked so that we can please Him, but not to be accepted by Him. Does that make sense? We work because we are saved, not in order to get saved. That's what this is talking about here. As we are knit together in love, and as we are strengthened by His word and by the understanding of Jesus Christ, when we have that full assurance of our faith, He's saying, continue in that walk. Sometimes it's easy to start something, but it's hard to finish it. And Paul is saying here, hey, Colossians, you started out good. There's people saying some things about you. There's all kinds of beliefs going on. Forget about those and walk as Jesus walked. Continue on. Continuing on. And I think it's a great message for us today, too, just thinking about how we can't do our normal daily things. And some of our lives have been changed drastically because of this coronavirus. And some of our lives maybe have changed just a little bit. It varies for everybody. But boy, what an encouragement it is, no matter if this coronavirus has changed your life completely or if it's changed just a little bit, or even outside of the coronavirus, we need to be encouraged at times to keep on walking as Jesus walked. And Paul's encouraging them here and saying, hey, you're doing a good job. Just keep going. Keep following your Savior. Keep following the things that you're being taught from the Word of God. Writing them to lift them up, to help them, and to encourage them along the way. But my question is, does your life reflect the life of Christ? Are you walking as Christ walked? If not, why not? Maybe you've acted out the part of a Christian and you truly really don't even know what it means to understand that you're complete in Christ. You don't really understand what it means to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what truth saving faith is about. You know, whenever I was going through those doubts, I was trying to find faith in other things when I needed to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just sang a song a minute ago about Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. And as Christians, we need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Does our life reflect the life of Christ? And the last thing that Paul is trying to remind the people of Colossians, and it's a help to us as our plans change, we need to remember that we are complete in Him, and when we're complete in Him, we should be abounding in thanksgiving. Look at verse number 7. It says, rooted and built up in Him, that we're strengthened and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, established in the faith. As we grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are established. That word established there has the idea, if you've ever done any kind of concrete work, I used to work with my father as a contractor, and I would help him pour different slabs of concrete, and sometimes you'd want to put a post in that concrete. And he'd always make sure, hey, make sure that that post is straight. Because once we pour this concrete, we won't be able to move it. It's going to be established, it's going to be set in that concrete. We won't be able to straighten it, so make sure it's straight now. And that's the idea of this word, of our faith needs to be established, because it's established in Christ. It needs to be unmovable. It needs to be strong in faith, and as you've been taught. And then it says here, abounding therein with what? With thanksgiving. Boy, how hard sometimes this is. You know, when we're focused on ourselves, and we're focused on our own plans, and what we have been deprived of because maybe of this virus or our lives being changed or maybe a completely different topic in your life. And boy, you're just maybe a little bit upset with God because your plans have changed. And it's easy for us to complain and say, oh, this is just, it wasn't what it was it used to be. And we can complain. You know, God takes that pretty seriously. If you don't believe me, then you can go back through the Old Testament and you can read about the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt and going to Canaan land as they were walking around. What's the biggest thing? They were complaining and complaining and complaining. When God was providing, they were complaining. But no good, God's providing something for us in this virus pandemic that we're going through, and he wants us to do a certain job or he wants us to learn a certain truth, and we're sitting here complaining about how God's not doing this and not doing that when he has something for us to do or to understand or to learn during this time. When we realize what Christ did for us, that we are complete in him, boy, that brings us to having a thankful heart, realizing that we deserve a lot worse, realizing that we need to be thankful. That's truly what true worship really is. It's not just music. It's not just, oh, this is our worship service. But no, it's living our lives thankful that we are complete in Christ. As we understand this truth about being complete in Christ, that should produce in us a heart of thankfulness to God for what he's done. Not just a little bit, but the Bible says here, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The deeper that we understand the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, finished work that we are complete in him, lacking nothing, the more we understand those things, the more encouraged we can be, the more strengthened we can be. We're knit together in love. We have this full assurance. We're walking as Jesus walked. And we are thankful along the way, giving praise to God. But what a great testimony it is when people, when they're going through a hard time. I love to read different things about people and how they went through hard times. And boy, how God used that in their lives to bring joy in their lives, even though it was a horrible situation that they went through. But when they went through it, they were trusting in God. And you sit down and talk with them and you get to know somebody that's been through some hard times and you're sitting there talking with them and you say, yeah, I went through this hard time, but God was faithful during it all. What a joy that is to be around somebody. But you can be around people that went through hard times and boy, they're angry at God. And you don't want to spend very much time with them because boy, they're talking about this and talking about that and complaining about this, complaining about that, arguing that God didn't do this for them and downing everything. And the situations are equally as bad. They went through the same things. But one is giving praise to God because during that hard time, God showed himself real to them. But the others relied on themselves. And they complain of what God didn't do for them. Boy, let's be those people that even though we go through hard times, even though we face things that we don't have all the answers for, as we trust God during those kind of times, and he shows himself real to us, and we are resting in the fact that we're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what a great heart of thankfulness we can have for him. So as we look back in this passage of being complete in Christ and what Paul is reminding the people of Colossae and how powerful that is even for us today, that we need to remember to be comforted in that we are complete in Christ. We need to remember that we're unified together, united together because we're complete in Christ. We need to be reminded that full assurance of our faith and resting established faith is in that we are complete, not missing anything. We've got it. It's in Christ. We need to continue on in that, walking as Jesus walked
And as we walk, as Jesus walked, we are walking with abounding thanksgiving in our hearts, giving praise to God for how he's working in our lives. Boy, what good news for the people of Colossae. You think about it, going through, and you ever remember going back to that feeling of missing something? Boy, how much more that is when you think that you maybe are missing something to get to God. Maybe I didn't do the right thing to get to God. No, it's not about that. It's not about what we can do to get to God. It's about what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Resting, trusting, believing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're listening and you're a regular attender of Grace Baptist Church and you need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have the thinking, well, I came to church, I did good things, and I'm trying to earn my favor with God. That's just not true. Because all of our righteousness are filthy rags. Maybe you need to come and put your faith in Jesus Christ, resting in him. Maybe you've been walking as Jesus walked, but you're just a bit discouraged. Take heart. Go back and think about how complete we are in Christ, what he's done for us. Restore that walk again with excitement and energy, with thanksgiving in our hearts. But maybe you're watching and you've never attended church anywhere. Maybe you're just listening online and you've come across this broadcast and you're listening. Boy, I would encourage you to think about these truths. Think about the one who died on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, was buried, the third day rose victorious over the grave. He died in our place as us. He paid for our sin debt. But as he came up out of that grave, giving us victory over death and sin and hell, but we just need to trust him. Put our faith in him. It's the good news. It's the gospel. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're complete in him. Lacking nothing. Not trying to do this, trying to do that. No, resting in what he did for us. I'm so thankful that we have a message, not just for here in Australia, but for the world, that we need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the Apostle Paul as he was writing to the people of Colossae and helping them, encouraging them to be strengthened in their hearts towards you. And Father, throughout the book of Colossae, how he is trying to get them to understand that Jesus is sufficient to forgive our sins. And Father, I pray, if there's one that needs to be saved, I pray that they'd put their faith and trust in you. And Father, those of us that have put our faith in you, Father, how good it is and how strong we can be in our faith as we go back and think about that we are complete in Christ. And Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.